In order to have a Vitamurical portion we are about to study, I wish to preface our lesson with a few introductory remarks. First, the Mishnah, which is the beginning of the Babylonian Talmud, deals with the mitzvah of reciting the Shema. The Shema, as we know, consists of three excerpts from the Torah. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 8, chapter 11, verses 13 to 22, and Numbers 15, verses 37 to 42. In the Shema, we proclaim the unity and kingdom of God. We declare our complete loyalty and love to Him, and dedicate ourselves to the study of the Torah and to the observance of all its mitzvahs. The Shema is to be recited twice a day. This law is derived from the portion of the Shema, wherein it says, "And thou shalt talk of them," meaning the Shema, "when thou liest down and when thou risest up." We will note that the Torah did not use the terms evening and morning, or night and day. It uses instead the terms "when thou liest down and risest up." The term "liest down" lends itself to two interpretations. It may mean when people are in the process of retiring, which is usually during the first 4 hours of the night. It may also mean when people have already retired, which would then include all hours of the night. According to the first interpretation, the time to read the Shema would be limited to the first 4 hours of the night, while according to the latter interpretation, it would extend through the entire night. In the Mishnah, we will find that there is a difference of opinion among our sages as to the interpretation of the term "liest down." Secondly, if a person comes in contact with certain objects which render him ritually unclean, he is forbidden to enter the Beis Hamikdash or to partake of any food which is of a holy character until he purifies himself. Purification, according to the law, is attained in three stages: immersion in a mikveh before sundown, complete passage of the day in which immersion took place, and the bringing of a purifying sacrifice on the morrow. There are three varieties of holy food: maaser, truma, and kodshim. Maaser may be eaten as soon as immersion is completed. Truma may be eaten after sundown on the day of immersion, after the offering of the purifying korban. Finally, when the term evening is applied, it may refer as hachama, which is sunset. It may also refer to tzeis hakochovim, the appearance in the sky of three stars of medium magnitude. For all other incidental explanations, consult the accompanying sheet. With this introduction, we shall now proceed with the Mishnah. Me'emosai korin eshma bo'arovin. From what time may we recite the Shema in the evenings, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of saying Shema when thou liest down? Misho'o shehakohanim nichnosim lechol bitrumasan. From the time the Kohanim, who had to undergo the purifying process, entered their homes to partake of their truma, which means after sundown, when three medium stars are apparent in the sky. Until when may it be recited? Ad sov hashmuro horishoino, divrei Rabbi Elazar. until the end of the first Mishmor. So said Rabbi Elazar. The night is divided into three equal parts, each part known as a Mishmor, or watch. According to Rabbi Elazar, the time to read the evening Shema extends only until the first third of the night. V'chachomim emrim, and the other sages say, the evening Shema may be recited until midnight. Rabban Gamliel says, Ad sheyale amud hashochah, until the full break of the dawn, which means the entire night. Maase ubo bonov mibeis hamishteh. It once happened that Rabban Gamliel's sons returned from a party after midnight. Omru lo loikorine esma. They said to him, we did not read the Shema. Om Alohem, Rabban Gamliel answered them, im lo olo amud hashochah, chayovim atem likros. If the dawn has not as yet broken, you are obligated to read the Shema. V'lo zu bilvad omru, and not only in this mitzvah is the time extended until the break of dawn, elo kol ma she'omru chachomim at chatzeis, but in whatever din the sages specified midnight as the limit, mitzvason ad she'ale amud hashochah, the actual time for performing the mitzvah is until dawn. For example, Hakteich lovim veivorim, the burning on the altar of fats and limbs of sacrifice today, on which our sages placed midnight as the limit, mitzvason ad sheyale amud hashochah, the burning may actually be performed until dawn. Similarly, v'chol ha'necholim l'yom echod, all edible korbonos whose eating is limited to one day, mitzvason ad sheyale amud hashochah, may be eaten until dawn. In kain lomo omru chachomim ad chatzeis, why then did the sages restrict the reciting of the Shema and the eating or burning of sacrifices until midnight? Kedei l'harchik odom min aviro, to remove the possibility of a person's unintentional violation of these mitzvahs. In other words, the actual time to recite the Shema is until dawn. The midnight limit was placed merely as a precautionary measure, so that a person should not postpone the reading of the Shema until a late hour of the night and nap a little in between, thus exposing himself to the possibility of oversleeping and missing the Shema altogether. By placing the midnight limit, our sages sought to assure the timely reading of the Shema. However, since the actual obligation is until dawn, if because of circumstances beyond his control a person should fail to read the Shema by midnight, as was the case with Rabban Gamliel's sons, he is still obligated and permitted to recite the Shema until dawn. This is the literal translation of the Mishnah. Since the purpose of our learning is not merely to translate, but to explain and point out the treasures of wisdom hidden in the concise words of our sages, I should like to return to our Mishnah and elaborate on a few points. First, one may ask, why does the Talmud begin with the mitzvah of Shema? Why did Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the author of the Mishnah, from among the 248 positive commandments of the Torah? There are several answers to this question. First, as I have already mentioned, the Shema is the declaration of our faith. As such, it is only proper to begin the Talmud, which is the oral law, by explaining the rules and regulations governing the fulfillment of this great mitzvah. Throughout the generations, the Shema has served us as a source of inspiration to cling steadfastly to our Torah and to be in constant readiness to make great sacrifices, including, if necessary, the supreme sacrifice for the preservation and fulfillment of Torah and Yiddishkeit. Secondly, when the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Mount Sinai, it consisted of two parts, the written law, which is the five Chumashim, and the oral law, which augments and explains the written law. One cannot understand the written law without knowing and following the interpretations and explanations. To demonstrate the indivisibility of the written and oral law, Rabbeinu HaKadosh began with Shema, wherein the Torah tells us to put on tefillin, attach mezuzos to our doorposts, and wear tzitzis on our garments. The Torah does not define or specify what tefillin are, what mezuzos contain, or how tzitzis are to be made. It is through the oral law that we know how to fulfill these mitzvos. It therefore follows that the oral law, the Talmud, begin with the interpretation of a section of the Torah, which is understood only through the oral law. In addition, by studying the Talmud, we fulfill the commandment of Talmud Torah, studying of the laws, which is considered the greatest mitzvah, as we say in our davening, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. The study of Torah excels all other mitzvahs. Since the command to study Torah is contained in the Shema, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This mitzvah was chosen for the beginning of the oral law. Finally, the very first mitzvah a boy is obligated to fulfill upon reaching bar mitzvah age is the reciting of Shema in the evening, since the evening marks the beginning of the Jewish day. It is for these reasons that the Shema is the first mitzvah to be interpreted by the Talmud. Another portion of our Mishnah requiring explanation is the part where the Mishnah states that the beginning of the time to recite the Shema coincides with the time when the Kohanim returned to eat their truma. Why was it necessary to interject the seemingly unrelated law of eating truma in designating the time to recite the Shema? The Mishnah's actual intent is to state that the Shema is to be recited at Tzotzak Yehovin. Let this fact be stated explicitly, rather than be referred to by a roundabout designation. The answer to this is that the only time Tzeis HaKechovim is mentioned in the Torah in conjunction with a mitzvah, it pertains to the law of purification, which renders a person eligible to eat truma. Finally, I should like to elaborate on the story related in the Mishnah that the sons of Ram Gamliel attended a party and thereby failed to recite the Shema on time. The sons of Ram Gamliel, as we know, were great sages in their own right. One may therefore wonder why these pious men did not interrupt the festivity to recite the Shema at the proper time. Furthermore, the law prohibits partaking of food and drinks after nightfall prior to reciting the Shema. The answer to this question is that the party they attended was not an ordinary one, but a Simcha Shal Mitzvah, a feast in honor of a mitzvah, whereby the feast itself is elevated to the status of a mitzvah. This party began before nightfall, when they were not as yet obligated to read the evening Shema. They were therefore permitted to drink wine. Once a person has drunk a certain amount of wine, he is not permitted to recite the Shema until its effects wear off. In the case of Rabbi Gamliel's sons, the effects wore off after midnight. They were therefore faced with the problem of whether or not they were obligated and permitted to read the Shema. Summarizing our Mishnah, we find three opinions as to the time limit of reading the evening Shema. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the reading is limited to the first third of the night. The Chachomim say it may be read until midnight, while Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion that it may be read throughout the entire night. The difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel stems from the previously mentioned definition of the term b'sholbacha, when thou liest down. Rabbi Eliezer defines it as meaning when people are in the process of preparing to retire. He therefore says that the time to read the Shema is during the first third of the night. Rabbi Gamliel, on the other hand, accepts the other interpretation of b'sholbacha, when people have already retired. According to this interpretation, the time extends throughout the night. The Chachomim, who compromise between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel, do not base their opinion on a third interpretation of b'sholbacha. They agree in principle with Rabbi Gamliel, only because of a precautionary measure, which applies to many other laws as well, do they limit the reciting of the Shema until midnight. Having explained the Mishnah, we shall now proceed to the Gemara, which further analyzes and interprets the words of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Tano heichi koye diktona meimesai. Which portion of the Torah containing a commandment to read the Shema was the Tana studying, which led him to ask from when it is to be read? The Gemara questions the merit of the Tana. The proper way would be to state first that the Torah obligates us to read the Shema in the evening to determine the appropriate time for this mitzvah. Our Tana, though, omitted any mention of such an obligation and began immediately with the question, from what time is the Shema to be recited? Visu, and another question may be raised, Maishne deitoni arvis bereisha. Why does the Tana deal with the evening Shema first? Listening the Shachris Bereisha, let him discuss the morning Shema at first, as we find by other mitzvos, which are to be performed twice daily, that the morning obligation is mentioned first. Answers the Gemara. Tane akrokoi. The Tane is referring to the passage in the Torah, Diksiv b'sholbacha uvkumecha, wherein it states, when thou liest down and when thou risest up, and he learned as follows. Zman krishma dishchiva emes, when does the time to recite the Shema, when thou liest down, begin? Mishoa sha'kohanim nichnasim lechol bitrumasam. From the time the kohanim enter to eat their truma. In other words, the Tana was in the midst of studying the portion of the Shema, which deals with the obligation to study the Torah at all times, and to recite the Shema. When he reached the verse of b'sholbacha uvkumecha, when thou liest down and risest up, he thereupon questioned, from what time does this obligation start? Since the Torah mentioned the evening Shema first, the Tana did likewise, and explained the laws of the evening Shema first. Veiboisema, another explanation may be offered. Yalif Mibiyose Shalela. The Tana learns from the Torah's account of creation, Diksiv, wherein it says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voker, Yom Echod. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. In other words, the Tana followed the pattern of the Torah, where mention of the evening precedes mention of the day. It is for this reason that the Tana mentions the evening Shema before the Shema of the morning. Questions the Gemara. Ihoche, if this is so, that is, if there is a compelling reason why our Tana explains the dinim of the evening Shema prior to the Shema of the morning, namely, because the Torah, in giving an account of creation, mentioned evening first, then the Tana should follow the same procedure in all cases, whenever evening and morning are involved. Why then do we find that Sefer in the sequel, Diktoni, wherein he teaches that Beshachar Mevorech Shtayim Lefonel, in the morning, the Shema is preceded by two brochos, the brocho of Yotzeir Hamayor Rose, and Haboche Bamo Yisrael B'Yahavo, the Achas Le'achrel, and is followed by one brocha, the brocha of Gal Yisrael, Ubo Erev, and in the evening, Mevorech Shtayim Lefonel. The Shema is preceded by two brochos, the brocha of Hamariv Aravim, and Ohev Amo Yisrael, and it is also followed by two brochos, the brocha of Gaal Yisrael, and Shomer Amo Yisrael Ad. Listening, let him teach there also the Arvis Beresha, the brochos of the evening Shema first, and then the brochos of the morning Shema. Answers the Gemara. Tana Posar Be'Arvis. The Tana began with the evening Shema. Ve'hodor Toni Beshachis. And then proceeded with the morning Shema. Ad the Koy Beshachis. While he was dealing with the laws pertaining to the morning Shema, Porish Mile Beshachis, he continued to explain all matters relating to the morning. We heard of Porish Mile Davis, and after that, he returned to explain all matters relating to the Shema of Dini. That is why the Tana in our Mishneh began with the laws governing the evening Shema, and in the other Mishneh, he began with the laws governing the Shema of the morning. I should like once again to return to the Gemara we just learned in order to explain certain questions that may be raised. The Gemara asked, why does our Tana deal with the evening Shema first? He should have dealt first with the Shema of the morning. As I explained, the basis for this question is the fact that in any other mitzvah which we are obligated to fulfill twice daily, the mitzvah that is to be performed in the morning is mentioned first. An additional reason may be given because most of the mitzvahs of the Torah are to be performed during the day. For example, the mitzvah of tefillin, the blowing of the shofar, the mitzvah of esrog, the performance of a bris, the offering of korbanos, all these mitzvahs and many others are limited to daytime only. The mitzvah of the day should therefore take precedence over the mitzvah of the night. However, one may ask, why does the Gemara direct its question to the Mishneh? Let the Gemara direct it to the Pasuk in the Torah, wherein it mentions first, when thou liest down, meaning in the evening, and then, when thou risest up, referring to the morning. The answer to that is that since the Torah purposely used the term lying down and rising up, the Torah had no alternative but to mention the evening first, for a person cannot rise unless he lies down first. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar, it was stated previously, Misho Shakuanim Nichnasim Lechol Bitromasan, that the time to read the Shema in the evening begins when the Kohanim enter to eat their truma. Mirdi, let us see. Kohanim emes ka'achle bitruma. When are the Kohanim who pass the purifying process permitted to eat truma? Mishas tois hakechovim, from the time of the appearance of three stars of medium magnitude. Listening, let him then say, Mishas tois hakechovim, from the time of the appearance of this inject the Kohanim's eating of truma. Answers the Gemara. Milse agav ucho kamash molan. The Tana, in passing, desired to let us know an additional law that Kohanim emas ka'achle bitruma, when are Kohanim permitted to eat truma? Mishas seisa kechobim, from the time of the appearance of stars. Veho kamash molan. And this is the point the Tana desires to emphasize. The kaporo lo me'akva, that the offering of the purifying korban does not withhold purification, and a person is permitted to eat truma after sundown on the day of immersion even before he brings the korban to the Beis HaMikdash. Kidisanyo, as we learned in a Beraisa, Ubo HaShemesh V'Tor, the Torah states in Leviticus chapter 22, when the sun sets, he is purified, which means, Bias Shimsho Me'akvoso Milechol Bitromose. The setting of the sun withholds permission to eat Truma. Ve'in Kaporoso Me'akvoso Milechol Bitruma. But the bringing of the purifying korban does not withhold permission to eat Truma. In other words, purification to eat Truma is attained by immersion in a mikveh and the setting of the sun on that day. The purifying korban does not withhold such permission to eat Truma.